CliffCentral.com.
Yeah, let's do this. Good morning, everybody. It is winter, and it is the Tuesday morning that you've been waiting for. The Bung and I are here to look after you, hopefully make your morning a little bit more bearable, and tell you what's going on in the world, tell you what's going on in our lives, tell you hopefully some things that you want to know, some things that might interest you, some things that might keep you, keep your brain working. So what's happening, Lebang? How's it going with the pregnancy? Hang on, let me just turn this down. Hold on a second. I can hardly hear you. Just, it's my fault, not yours. Just wait a sec. There we go. We've got the settings wrong. There we go. Yes, go ahead. How's the pregnancy?
Is that better?
It's much better.
Can you hear me now?
I can hear you clearly.
It's going good, dude. It's just like countdown phase. Like my phone is just constantly reminding me every week, like boom, 3 weeks, boom, 31 week, boom, 32 weeks. I'm like, okay, I get it. It's happening any day now. Thank you.
Yeah.
So it's exciting times. I'm equally like stressful times because now I need to like prepare and get stuff. And
right.
You know, I've always like pictured having one of those really exaggerated births where like I'm walking in the mall and then like my water just breaks.
Like some kind of drama.
It just, dude, and the security guard starts running around and everybody in the mall starts screaming, but that literally never, ever happens. So I'm just like, yeah.
I mean, again, yeah. I don't know. I've never been through this, but you get like quite a bit of warning, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Right.
To say the least. Mm-hmm. That's a nice way of putting it. Yeah. It's quite a bit of warning. Most times anyway, like your body will say, okay, cool. It's time. It's nothing like in the movies. There's no dramatic gush of like waterfallness and panic and blah, blah. It's literally like, oh, okay, cool. The water has leaked out. Let us pack our bags, get in the car and make our way to the hospital. It's that time of the year again in my case.
Well,
all is well.
You know, the good news is humans have been successfully giving birth to children for thousands of years, and I'm sure everything will be fine. And you've already got practice. I mean, you've had some before, so it's not as if this is your first one either. I can understand if you know, it's your first ever pregnancy and you're nervous because you're not sure what's going to happen. Jesus, by the way, talk about nervous. You want to see the panic on the crypto markets at the moment. Bitcoin is touching $30,700 this morning, which is pretty low. That's the lowest it's been for a while.
Jeez. How did that happen?
I don't know what's going on. Everything is just is having a tough time at the moment. If I mean just look at the US stock market too, because these things are interesting to people. And you know, a lot of people get very nervous about like any massive financial moves, and right now nobody knows. I said this to Sean Sanders when we had him on last week. Yeah, the US stock market's also a piece of shit at the moment. And he was saying, well, people just don't know where to invest because pretty much everything you're touching at the moment is just really, really dodgy because there's so much going on in the US. The Ukraine-Russia war is not helping. So people are nervous about that, just like you are nervous about like whether or not you're going to suddenly have your baby in a shopping mall. What happened?
No, there's just so much. There's a lot of instability in the world generally as like a concept, and we can't control any of that.
Mm-mm.
So I understand that people are just generally nervous. I just think like take it every day as it comes, keep it moving, and follow your heart. If your heart is saying go to crypto right now, in the condition that it's in,
follow your heart.
No, hold on. Follow your heart.
No, we've been down this road. That's the last thing you should follow. You heard what Dr. Hanan said. Don't follow your heart.
Your heart is lying to you.
No, he said follow your brain. Follow your brain. Your brain is in charge, not your heart.
That's what he said? Oh, I must have missed that episode, Gareth. Woe is me. How are you, Gareth?
I'm
What's
good.
Happening with you, bro?
I'm good. I went to a funeral yesterday, which was not great.
Sorry.
I don't know if you know Alan Ford's dad.
His father. Yes, I remember.
Alan's dad, he had a heart attack on the golf course. I mean, can you imagine? On the golf course. I mean, he loved golf. And he was playing golf last Wednesday. And he just he had a heart attack on like the sixth hole, and that was just tickets. So poor old Alan and his family having a very tough time at the moment, and it was good to catch up with them.
Sorry, I've got like a mini nosebleed going on here as well, which is not great.
Jeez.
Yeah.
You say that so casually.
No, it's fine. It happens from time to time, especially when it starts to get all dry. And I was talking about this on the show the other day, and everybody said, humidifiers are a waste of money. Don't bother with that. It's such stupid stuff. No, you didn't. I know.
Yes. I said you should definitely do it.
No, I'm giving you credit on this one. But you know, it was such a beautiful service because the whole family were there, and they stood together, a very close family. You know, and you can't help thinking when you go to something like that, that we're all going to have to go through this at some point. You know, every family, you lose your folks at some point. Mm-hmm. And I was just thinking and it's not so much about other people. It's like how you as a family want to deal with things like that when they do inevitably come your way. And I don't like being too depressing so early in the morning, but you can't help it when you've just been to a funeral. I knew Alan's dad reasonably well. He was a very jolly, happy, gregarious, fun, humorous, generous dude. He was a bouncy, happy guy. He really was, and had a lot of energy and a twinkle in his eye. And you know, I sometimes think, well, that just reminds you. It doesn't actually matter. It's going to happen in any case, whether you're a miserable, sad, grumpy, bedridden, sour person. Or you're one of those people who's out there living life. It's still going to come for you, you know? And Michael says here, golf and bowls are the deadliest sports around. But Michael, is that because old people play them? You know? Because I do think he's right. I'm not disputing the fact that those are probably the most deadly sports because a lot of old people die playing bowls and golf. But I think it must be because they're old. I don't think it's because those sports particularly, you know,
regardless of those actual sports.
Yeah, I don't think it's because you exert yourself so much when you're playing bowls. But yeah, it's a horrible thing to do. And you know, he was 70, so that's not that old these days. 70.
Yeah, 70 is kind of like you still have most of the time you still have like all the energy and you know, you kind of still, you've got it going on. But to your point of like, either way, you're going to die, whether you're a great person or a shitty person.
Yeah.
Sure. But like, do you want people to remember you like as that shitty person that you were? I mean, sure. At that point, it's completely out of your control and there's nothing you can do about it. And if you have lived, maybe a life of lies and, you know, on one end you have been great, and on the other end you have
one
been
of the
shitty.
Few it's, one of the few
really
times,
the
only time I can remember at a funeral in South Africa, because we just eulogize everyone when they die as being fantastic, right? You could see it even with politicians.
Mm-hmm.
You see it with really, mm-hmm. really bad people that the whole, you know, everyone comes out and goes, oh, they were so wonderful and they did these wonderful things and they were so superb and everybody loved them.
Yeah.
The only time I didn't see that was that remember that Akhadi who pitched up at that one funeral.
Oof, where there was like water bottles being thrown everywhere.
Was it one of
that was just hella spicy.
It wasn't the Maponya funeral, it was something, it was someone else, but it was the moment where I realized like there are people who don't toe the line at the funeral, who don't say all the nice things.
Yeah. But you see, here's the thing, it's like the main family like is still keeping it real, like, oh my gosh, we lost our brother. Oh, he was so amazing. But like those who know the truth about what was going on will take out all the files. And it's almost assumed that no, once a person's dead, we leave he or she takes the files with them.
Yeah.
They buried with the secrets.
Right.
No, 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 sir. No. It's like the funeral's like, yeah, we've been waiting. And if it's spicy enough, it'll come out, which is interesting because I haven't been you know, it's not really common in culture, especially to do that to a person that's deceased. Like you have to just tread lightly. If there has been, you know, some drama, you keep it to yourself. It's like, you know, like secrets. That was the first time I think we saw for real that, hey, man, your secrets will catch up with you.
Yeah. And people don't like to tell the truth about these things, but inevitably it's going to come out anyway, right? So they're going to be these people who say, oh, well, you know, you may think that's all good and well, but actually, I just think it's time and place specific too. And I think, you know, it's at the funeral itself, just leave people alone, let them grieve and let them get over it. Mm. And also there's no need to bring up stuff about, like that Rachadi did about the affairs and, you know, the side family and all of that stuff. You can always bring that up, but I just think give people a little bit of space. And I'm all for telling the truth, you know me, but there's got to be a time and place for all of that stuff too. Anyway, you've got this thing where we need to vote for you. So this is important because, I mean, I saw you going on about this all weekend and I went and voted, but you still need 200 more votes. What is this, first of all, and what is the prize? And, you know, what do we have to do here? Like, give us the gist.
As you know, Gareth, I'm a woman of many, many talents. And one of those talents is I'm actually a voice artist. Yes. So I found this competition online where they're like, hey, are you a voice artist? Is your voice cool? Yes. If so, enter now. So I was like, okay, cool. So I entered and I did really, really well. So I just basically need to get as many votes as possible. The prize is cash. All they've said is win some cash. They haven't said how much. Okay. They haven't said when. So I could be literally trying to win 200 rands or I could be trying to win 2,000 rands. But I just need as many likes as possible. It's literally all over my page. If you just go to my page, it's at Lebang Khosana on IG and just hit like on my story. I just, like, the person that's in the lead right now, I think has like 600 votes and I've got 400. But guess what I have that they don't? I have a Gareth Cliff. So I figured, let me holler at Gareth Cliff and get more votes. So that's what's happening now. But it's just exciting when it's nice to use my voice to make some extra nappy money, is what I say. So
all right. Well, extra nappy money sounds like a good plan. I think that sounds great. Okay. Yes. So go along. Uh-huh. Let's go and help Lebang to win this. So Michael says, before it got cool, I used to get pissed with the PE Bowls Club with the old bullies. Dope was cheap and the toppies had great stories. Yeah, but then obviously that's also where you learnt about the people who die from bowls, Michael. What people think of me while I'm alive doesn't bug me. So when I'm dead, who cares? That's a very interesting point of view. Because a lot of people, you know, to many of us, what drives us is our legacy. It's like, well, what am I going to leave behind? You know, what will people say about me when I'm gone? And maybe that's a dumb thing to think about, because who really cares? I mean, are people...
But then how should we look at it then?
Are people even going to think about you when you're gone? Let's just think about how often we consider people who, you know, at the time there was a huge big noise, huge big splash. And obviously we're talking about, you know, not historical figures and characters who are part of the history of our nation or international, you know, celebrities or news people or whatever. But I often wonder, like, what about ordinary folks like us? What happens to us? And do people really, are people still going to think about you? Because as you get older, I suppose you also have less and less friends because they start popping their clogs at some point.
Yeah.
So why are we all wrapped up in stuff that might not even be that important in the long run? It is a good point that's being raised there. I think that's valuable. Why do we care, as Freedom Fighter says, about what people think of us when we're dead?
Look, I completely agree. And you know this about me as well, Gareth. I could care less. Mm-hmm. But I think to a certain extent, it's about how really it makes us feel while we are still alive. Sure, when we're dead, it won't matter. But while we're here, we don't really, you know, want to go out of our way to behave like assholes so that we feel that way. Like, there's a certain feeling that comes with just like being like the best version of yourself, like being you, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And finding, even if it's just a few people that really fucks with you, that say, oh yeah, I really dig Gareth, you know, even if it's two people, those two people are what matter. It's not about getting the 200 people, it's just about getting the few people that really dig you. And as long as you know you've clocked those two people, and you and the three of you were musketeers and you made it work, and
maybe,
and that made you happy, that's what counts, I think.
Easy Picking says, check Lebang chasing clout. You go, woman.
You know.
Well, I love stories like this. So Dude69 says, at my uncle's funeral, I met my cousins that I'd never known about. That man lived. Never knew he had about three families, because the one that I did know about was all I had. Drama was had at that funeral.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Sure.
You see? And that happens. That literally it happens more than you guys think. At funerals, children come out of nowhere. That was my dad too. That was my dad too. I need some of the estate as well. And you're like, where have you been? Like, are we siblings? It happens, not just in movies.
I don't know whether to respect someone who has like two side families that didn't know about each other, or whether I am horrified that they got away with it. Because there's a part of me that has, you have to give credit. Like, that's a lot of work. You know how much lying and manipulation and maneuvering you have to do?
Scheming.
You must be so tired when you go to sleep at night. You must be like, I would be too exhausted to be, you know, keeping two girls on the side and this one over here. And it's too tiring. I would be finished. I'd be like, just leave me alone. I just want to sleep.
Yeah, no, but it happens. And I'm sure when you get to your deathbed, you're quite relieved. You're like, phew, sure, I don't need to keep up this charade anymore. Yeah. Like, you're glad that, you know, that part is over. But Gareth, it happens and it's scary. My partner was telling me a story yesterday about he met a lady at the slow lounge at the airport. Mm-hmm. And she just kind of sat down. I was like, sorry, can I sit with you, whatever? And she started talking about the work that she does. And she was like, guys, at your earliest convenience, put a will together.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes, absolutely.
Because she is in the business of, you know, figuring out like assets and stuff once people pass. Mm. She's seen 10 siblings fighting over R1,000. Oof. She's seen two siblings fighting over R1,000,000. Whatever is left to your name, whether it's money in your account,
absolutely,
whether it's assets, please make sure you have it written on something that is a formal document, because it literally gets so messy. It becomes Muvango. It becomes drama series so quickly, dog.
Oof. Oh, man. Oof. No, seriously, this is such an important thing. And, you know, I think we've had clients of ours, people who've advertised on Cliff Central who do wills. and I can't remember who it was. It's been a while now. But this is so important. And you think, I don't have that much stuff. It doesn't really matter. It does matter, and people are going to fight over it.
It does.
And it's amazing how even the best families, there always are ructions after something like that happens. The other thing is, like, you have to think about what you want for yourself when you die. Like, do you want a big ceremony? Do you just want something quiet? Where do you want to be buried? You know, that kind of shit matters, because otherwise you leave it to the family to have to decide. Sometimes they don't want to think about that stuff. They just want to follow the instructions that you've laid down. And especially if you have some complicated wishes that you know, you want this or you want that, or you expect these people there, or you don't want that person there, or whatever. Like, you've got to put the stuff in writing.
No, you definitely do.
It's important. It's like being tidy. It's like, you know, having your affairs in order, they always say. Having your affairs in order. It's really important, this.
It'll also just save you so much, like, not just you as the deceased, but as the family members that are also participating in this whole thing, knowing exactly what the person wanted. I actually spoke to my dad quite recently about this. He's like, yo, dude, I've already booked the cremation, blah, blah, blah.
Oh.
As soon as I kick the bucket, that's where you go. They've got all my details. Don't do this whole 1 week thing where your visitors are coming and going and eating. Dude, one day, make it quick. In and out, I'll see you on the other side. I was like, that has just helped me so much, because I don't want the stress of like having to think about what we're going to do and where we're going to bury him and what do we would have liked and blah, blah, blah. It's actually just like instructions.
I got
to
say.
And all I have to deal with is like the crying part.
I've got to say also that I have such a preference for the Jewish funerals, and I've been to a few of those. Because it all happens the very next day. I mean, sometimes there's a slight delay, but usually it's the next day. And everybody goes. It's a short ceremony. There's a little walk to the grave. The box goes in. You take a shovel. You put a one shovel full of dirt in the lid, and then you're out of there. And that is it. It's closure. It's finished.
That's it.
There's none of this long, drawn-out, like, 2 weeks and, you know, the funeral home and the expensive coffin and the tedious in between stuff, and you know, it just boom, it happens. And I got to tell you, like, because no one wants to deal with this stuff, no one wants to think about this, and no one wakes up in the morning and goes, today I want to plan this funeral of mine. But the thing about the Jewish funerals, it's also it doesn't matter how rich or important you are. You get a pine box like everyone else. You get put on in a plot of land. It's sometimes not even near your family, but it's everyone's kind of in the same section of the cemetery, and it's just done. Like, it's so elegant and efficient, and it's just a process. It's something that you have to go through, and the quicker you get it done and dusted, the better your ability to move on, I think. I don't know if that's true for everybody, but to me, that seems the way to do it. You know, I remember, was it the last Pope, John Paul II, when he died? I mean, they kept the guy in that box open to the elements for like 2 weeks before they eventually buried him. I thought, you know, that's
damn,
a long-ass time to keep someone around. After they died, just get it done as quickly as possible. It's like, there doesn't need to be this fuss. And I know that there are different traditions and everything else. But I think, Tatlejo says, guys, please, all this death stuff is depressing me. I can't stand death. I want to live forever. Me too, dude, but you're not going to. I mean, they might develop something, but I do. Yes, we've talked about this. Don't you know
that? We've spoken about this. No, like, come on. Do you still?
Yes.
After everything we discussed.
Yes. 100% I do. Cool. Yeah, I just don't want to be I don't want to be ill. I don't want to be old. I don't want to be crabby. I want to be like young and live forever. So in other words, I either want to be able to like save game where I am now, right? So I think I could carry on at this age and I'll be very happy. Cuz I don't have too many aches and pains. I'm quite in reasonably good physical condition. I can see properly. I can hear properly. The teeth are still in my head. My joints don't go click and pop when I get up. So this is a good place to save game. But if I could subtract even a few years, then that'd be fine too. So depending on how medical science evolves, I want to choose around about this time, or maybe I'd subtract a maximum of 5 years from it. But somewhere around there, and then stay there for as long as you can. And obviously, you know, you can't live, even if they find through, and medical science is some way off of this, unfortunately, but even if they found some way, they still can't stop you from doing really dumb stuff, like walking out in front of a bus, for example. I mean, that's not going to save you, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I like that. And the reason I say save game, easy pickings, is because if you're a gamer, you know, like at some point when you're doing really well in the game and you think, I'll pick it up at this point, that's when you save. And I think of life like that a lot. You know, when I'm having a lot of fun, when I look around me and I see family and friends enjoying themselves and laughing and everybody smiling and enjoying each other's company, that's the moment I just take a little screenshot in my head. I go, boom, boom, boom. I don't take an actual picture, but I take a screenshot in my head because I think that gratitude is in those moments. And I don't want to get all Oprah and too philosophical with anybody right now. But I do feel that if we don't take those moments and store them in our memory, then we're letting them slide by. And those are the moments that make life fantastic, right? It's when we're talking.
Yeah.
It's like when we're talking nonsense on the show and everybody's laughing and having a good time. You'll sometimes see I'm just like sitting back and enjoying the show, enjoying what everyone else is doing. And I'm just taking a little mental screenshot because that's the stuff that makes me happy. And
I think this is all sounding very Black Mirror-y.
Well, like, it probably is. I mean, you know, the way we're starting to think is that, and there are all these people who say that actually this is a simulation, you know, that all these tech geniuses in Silicon Valley genuinely believe that we are in a simulation. And if it is a simulation, then you're in charge of your game, right? I mean, you might not be completely in charge. There's certain conditions that are going on around you that are being manipulated, perhaps, or that are just evolving, depending on your point of view. And there might be a god in the machine. There might not be. That depends on what you believe, because you're playing your game. But to me, like, if I'm playing this game, I'm going to decide when I want to save. I'm going to decide when I'm going to take a screenshot. I'm going to decide when to take a coffee break. And I'm not a gamer, but I follow game theory. And to me, the victory conditions are have as much fun as you can, because actually, once you've won the game, it's very boring from that point on. You know, in any game you've ever
played, life is a game.
I think so, Lebang. I think so. And I think it's a fun game to play. And I don't think there's any real point in starting to attribute too much importance to yourself or to the game. Just go along for the enjoy the ride, man. I do love it. I'm having a lot of fun. And of course, when you come to terms with things, like yesterday when I went to this this funeral, you see that some people's game ends early, or some people's game ends suddenly, or perhaps because, you know, they expected to carry on for longer, but the game just suddenly stopped. And some people's game carries on for much too long. You know, those people that linger. But I want to play, man. I'm enjoying this. I'm having a lot of fun. The characters in my game I really like, and I feel that this is the best way to look at it. This is an analogy I like.
What do you think about just like letting go of the controller just for a moment and just letting the game just sort of like play itself and see where you go and see how you do, and maybe not always having the joystick in your hand pressing X and R and left and right and up and down. I mean, there could be some real joy in that.
Yeah. I'm not good at giving up the controls, but sometimes you have to.
Yeah, that's...
Sometimes you have to. You have to realize that, you know, there's only so many ways you can play this particular thing. There's going to be an outcome that doesn't have you as the main actor. And that's okay, too.
Yep.
I think we need to transfer Gareth into a robot when he dies so he can carry on with this podcast. We demand entertainment at 6 a.m. All right, well, I'm not going anywhere in a hurry, so don't panic. And Gary says, don't take yourself so seriously. Absolutely, Gary. Perfect. Tracy says, Alfred Hitchcock spoiled funerals for me. That one where the woman escapes from prison and gets buried alive, and then when the time comes for her to be dug up, the person who was supposed to dig her up is dead in the same coffin. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Yeah, Alfred Hitchcock. Yeah, Alfred Hitchcock. I can't read that stuff. There are all these murder mysteries that are starting to become, you know, like Agatha Christie and all of that stuff that are popular again, and they're starting to remake some of them. And I've just never really been into those murder stories. I've never even watched that Crime and Investigation channel. So I'm not the target market for this. I get it.
You're not the guy. Yeah, some of them really aren't great. Like, if it's not your cup of tea, then don't even bother with it. But they can get interesting. Like, if it's your vibe, if you're into it, then it kind of works out for you. More the games than the movies, though. The movies are just usually terrible.
Oh, yeah.
Like, weird spin-offs. Mm. Speaking of movies, dude, there's a new Avatar trailer. Oh. You remember Avatar with the blue people? Yeah. It took them 10 years, and there's a new one. I haven't seen it, though. Like, I haven't even seen the trailer. Because I just feel like...
James...
you guys could fuck with
What's his name? James Campbell? The director?
Cameron, I think.
Cameron, James Cameron. Cameron, that's right. So James Cameron's directing this one as well?
It should be him, because it said another 10 years for this movie to come out. And who do we know that takes that long to master his craft?
James Cameron.
It's usually James Cameron.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, let's do it. I mean, I'll watch that. I think that'll be fun. I enjoyed the first one.
See.
The other thing I see that is coming is... the HBO are busy putting together, or they've already put together, and they're going to release sometime this year, like a Game of Thrones spin-off about the time before Game of Thrones. And I think that's an obvious move by them. You know, Game of Thrones was so successful. There's also the Star Wars Obi-Wan movie, which is coming out. So there's quite a lot of stuff that I think I might want to see. And all of this is in that sci-fi realm, you know, the fantasy realm.
Yeah.
So Game of Thrones, Star Wars, Avatar, they're all in the same category. It does sound like it could be good, though. Do you know what I started watching yesterday? I only watched one episode, and it looks pretty hilarious, is something with Mike Myers. It's called The Pentaveret, and it's about this...
Oh, gosh, I watched it.
Have you seen it? Okay, so I only saw one episode.
I got through, like, a bit of episode one.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's really... It's funny, but it's not... It's not screaming funny yet. I mean, I'm going to give
it
a try.
We'll see. And it's Mike Myers, right? So your hopes are up.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, dude, Mike Myers, you're a legend. You know this is going to be great. And then every other joke, you're like, oh, okay.
Right.
Oh, okay.
I'm curious to see where it goes, so I'm going to give it a try, but this could be fun. So apparently the Game of Thrones thing is called House of the Dragon. It's out in August, and they've got some big names in there. Tubble, also a big fan of that. I saw a clip of George Lucas at the Miami F1 Grand Prix. He looks like the fourth is no longer with him. Well, George Lucas is no spring chicken either, you know. Isn't it funny how humans, says Mike, always make the entire universe about themselves? Yeah. Yes, absolutely. I don't know what you want me to say about it. I don't know what you want to say, me say about that, Mike, but that is absolutely true. It always has been true. Any person, even the most evolved, brilliant human being, at some point they start thinking that the universe is all about them. Carl says, I've also started watching the Pentaveret. What a load of shit, but I can't stop watching. Yeah.
Yes, that's the perfect way to describe it. Like, you can almost see that, okay, this may not land, but it's Mike Myers and he's on his eighth character. That's him.
Oh,
and,
man.
You know, you love him. So it's like, okay, cool.
I'm also really...
I'm just watching it for the sake of it's him, but I don't know if it's going to go up there as like my faves.
Well, Rivwan says there's also a Lord of the Rings series coming out in September on Amazon Prime. Good heavens. I mean, this is a bumper year then.
This is the season.
For anybody who's into that stuff. This is going to be the best year ever for people who are into fantasy and sci-fi, right?
That's what it looks like.
Yeah. Okay, well... lots of people who are criticizing the Pentaveret. Tabo says, Mike Myers is washed up now. He tried to get Key from Key and Peele to help him with it. Cuck show. The jokes are so dumb.
but Tabo, he is pretty washed up. I think he's kind of just, it's hard to adapt to the new times. That thing of being yourself, like playing every second or third character in like the same 20 minutes,
to do, right?
It does get a bit much. It gets a bit much. And I think his craft is brilliant. I think he's one of the best, really good at what he does. But in this particular case, somebody really should have said, look, dude, we can leave this one in the drafts. We don't have to hit send. But here we are.
There's so much pressure also that you have to, you know, people feel they have to keep on coming up with new material all the time, especially people who've already had success. I saw... who is that girl who was in Game of Thrones? Sophie something or another. She married one of the Jonas brothers. You know which one I'm talking about? And I suddenly thought about her. Yeah. I don't know why I thought about her, but she's, you know, she did that role of Sansa in Game of Thrones. And she was very good at it. And people loved her. But I'm wondering, like, is there huge pressure on her right now because she has to have some new – Sophie Turner, thank you. Tracy, thank you very much for that. So Tracy's helping us out this morning. So Sophie Turner, she married the one Jonas brother, and she's been very successful. But now I wonder if she wanders around Hollywood and she spends the money that she – I mean, she probably made good money. But do you think she wakes up in the morning going, oh, people are judging me because I haven't done anything today?
No, I saw her in X-Men shortly after her stint. The memory that I have of that was just nonsense. And I haven't really seen her in much since then. Like, she's just kind of like, you know, doing a thing as a married woman, I guess.
I just randomly thought about her. I don't know why her, because there's so many other people who've been in one big successful show and maybe they've been in one movie and then it kind of goes off the burn. But I suddenly thought this.
Random.
Yeah, I suddenly thought this poor girl. Anyway, let's look at some headlines.
So, before you go, Michael's asking if you started Moon Knight, and I also need to know, Gareth, if you have started Moon Knight, and if the answer is no, then why? It's probably one of the best shows that are out there right now. It's like a Marvel.
Okay.
Yes, it's so good. Like mentally, emotionally, just watch it. It's,
I'll do that.
It's up there.
I did mention it yesterday on the show because someone suggested it to me over the weekend. So I've got that on the playlist as well. So I'll get to it, I promise you. All right. So here's a very weird tweet from Elon Musk yesterday. He said in a very cryptic tweet, he basically said, if I die mysteriously, he says, if I die under mysterious circumstances, it's been fun. Now, we don't know whether he's joking or not, but the South African-born businessman shared a tweet which received massive engagement, even got the attention of his mum, who called him out for it, saying, it is not funny. You know when your mum calls you out and says, that is not funny, right? Shortly after, he shared a post that appears to be testimony claiming he is involved in supplying the fascist forces in Ukraine with military communication equipment. So I think he's just toying around. he's got a sense of humor. You know, he said, for example, he wants to buy Coca-Cola and put the cocaine back in it. He's been very funny about this whole Twitter takeover. He's got a sense of humor about a lot of stuff. He's trolling people. That's kind of what Elon's been doing for the last while. He's having a lot of fun. He's made millions and millions and millions. They say he's, you know, he's the richest man in the world. So I think he's just playing around. But the Tesla and SpaceX CEO has been very vocal about making changes to Twitter. This could be the reason he felt it best to take it to the app to tell his followers that he thinks his life could be at risk. You know, again, the people who take him too seriously, I think, are being stupid. I think he's just kidding. But even so, you know how people are. They love a conspiracy theory, right?
Of course. Nobody's going to take that and be like, oh, he's joking because that's what he does. Uh-huh. Like, a part of you is like, is he though? Because the truth is, we don't want to sit here in a few weeks' time and say, oh, shit, he was serious. You know, we want to believe that he's joking. But also, why would he just randomly tweet that?
Well, I mean, he probably has received death threats. Anyone famous and important in the world these days probably does get them, even if it's just on Twitter from douchebags who are you know, living in their parents' basement. Because a lot of people who make these things, they think they're anonymous and they can get away with it. But he did. So he says, you know, if I die under mysterious circumstances, it's been nice knowing you. And then his mom says, that's not funny. So he replies to her on Twitter and says, sorry, I'll do my best to stay alive. So I think he's kidding. I really do. But there are a lot of people who say, well, you know, it could be like he's busy warning people because he knows something we don't. I don't think you should read too much into it. This guy's always taking the piss out of everything. But speaking of death threats, Gabor Dlamini, you remember I interviewed on my TV show, and he says that his life is in danger. He has been mistaken for a suspect in the Hillary Gardi murder case. Now, this is quite a story because he's the former Fees Must Fall activist and WITS graduate. He has been mistaken for one of the suspects arrested in the murder of Hillary Gardi. Dlamini's mistaken identity stems from the fact that one of the suspects is alleged to be from Swaziland and is a former SRC president in one of Gauteng's institutions of higher learning. I have to ask you, why would someone who is an SRC president in an institution of higher learning be a suspect in a murder? That person has gone quite far
astray. Anything to do with... And I'm good. Dlamini has just been through so much. Like, literally, they just don't want him to rest. No. Just let him, just leave him alone. He's not the guy. But to your question, Gareth, I mean, you'd be surprised what people in institutions of higher learning are interested in and actually do.
Well,
on the side is one thing we need to be realistic about. This is reality.
Yeah. Now, look, I agree with you, but he posted on Facebook, of all places. He said he's getting calls from journalists. He said, please release the name of the suspect, because if you keep saying he's from Swaziland and a former WITS SRC president, people will start circulating my name. He says, I've been receiving calls from journalists, and he told the Daily News that his life is now in danger as a result of this mistaken identity. Can you imagine
that? Leave that man alone.
Yeah, leave him alone. He's been through a lot, and I don't think he has killed Hillary Gardi. Unless there's some really wacky shit going down, I think that's kind of crazy. Anyway, Ruth just reminding us that you have to like and subscribe. I always forget to do this, but thank you, Ruth, being very, very fastidious here. So please get along there, like and subscribe, get involved, because it doesn't matter how many people watch live. It doesn't matter how many people listen to the podcasts, and way more people listen to the podcasts. But just go along, give us a like and subscribe. It'll take 2 seconds out of your day, but it really helps us. And we need to get those numbers to go up so that, the people at YouTube take us very, very much more seriously. So go ahead. Do it.
Yes.
Get involved, please. Cape Town has been ranked as the third greatest city on earth. Yes. Yes.
We'll take it.
Listen to this. No, don't laugh. Give them the credit where it's due. We need all the help we can get in South Africa. We'd rather be at the top of the polls over that, right? Than some of the other things. So the UK's Telegraph. Fair. Says it has finally settled the debate on which is the greatest city on earth. So the newspaper says Cape Town is ranked third because its topography and geography makes it stand out above others, but the city has a poor safety record. Oh, yeah, you don't say so, with all the gangsters and everything. The survey looked at things like legalized same-sex marriage, it seems to be quite obsessed with this LGBTQ stuff, because it also looked at LGBTQ worker protections, legal protections against discrimination. But basically, basically, they're also looking at the best places to live. So I've got the full list up to number 50, but let's start at number 10 and then count down. All right. We know that Cape Town's number 3. Number 10 is Florence in Italy. Number 9 is Vancouver in Canada. Number 8 is London. Number 7 is Dubai. Number 6 is Los Angeles. Los Angeles? Really? Number 5 is Venice, again back in Italy. Number 4 is Lisbon in Portugal. Number 3 is Cape Town. Number 2, Sydney in Australia. And number 1, the best city to live in the world, the greatest city on earth, is Barcelona, according to the survey. So there we go.
Oh, that's interesting.
What do you think? You agree?
Well, look, I'm not the most traveled person, but sure. Like, Sydney, I know, is stunning. But in terms of, like, living there and stuff, it's obviously different to, like, just being a tourist and popping in and out. And the reason why I laughed when you said Cape Town is because, like, my mind just automatically went to all the, like, the other, like, the most, the other stuff, the stuff that they don't tell you, how unequal it is and the crime. And my mind literally just went straight to that. So I was like, what? No. So, yeah, but if it's up there, then.
Well, if we had to put a city forward as the greatest city in South Africa, I think we would put Cape Town up as our best candidate, right?
Definitely. Definitely.
Because it does seem like Cape Town just works a whole lot better and it is prettier. So I'll let Cape Town take this one. I'm quite happy. It's the only South African city in the list. Let me just go back and check. I don't think there are any others. I don't see any other South African cities in there, I'm afraid. No. Marrakesh is in there at number 50. Hong Kong makes the list. New Delhi even makes the list. Mexico City makes the list. Rome, Dubrovnik, Singapore. But I'm afraid no Joburg, no Durban. Definitely no PE or Polokwane. So we got to take what we can get, right? We'll take Cape Town. Nice. All right. It is just about 18 minutes to 7. If you are watching the clock this morning for some reason, maybe you have to be watching the clock so you can be at work on time. And a lot of people are going back to work on time. There was a lot of traffic yesterday on the roads. Things are definitely getting back to normal, and more people are at the office.
Yeah.
I think everybody's realized, like, we've got to get things going. In a moment or two, we'll check in with Jaco Voigt. I was listening to a really interesting episode of Unbundled that Jaco did the other day. You know, he brings in guests who are involved in cybersecurity, for example. And you only think about these things when it goes horribly wrong. So you've got to be... You've got to be aware of it in the background, but you also have to know that once things have gone wrong, it's probably too late. And we'll check in with Jaco just now to find out what he's got lined up on today's show and also talk about some other stuff related to business. Because if you don't think about these things and you're not aware of it, you are asking for trouble. Just like not having a will is asking for trouble.
Yeah. Right? We only think about these things sort of like when they affect us or when they're close to us, or maybe we don't because it's, you know, it's a little bit further. Once it hits you, it's already too late. You'd rather prepare than have to repair. That is my life motto. I wish I applied it more, but I still like to say it out loud because it sounds so cool. But it's generally that thing. If you don't make precaution for some of these things to happen, then you're pretty much screwed. And imagine if, like, all of your data gets leaked and then you're completely fucked.
Well, I mean, you've heard these horror stories, too, of people who have their bank accounts hacked into because they have some stupid... Do you know that somebody... You know that one big data breach we had not too long ago where all those South African files were suddenly released onto the internet and people had access to people's ID numbers and everything else? Apparently, there was someone in the system who had a login and their password was... Guess. Password. So when it came to
type, it was what?
They kept the password was password.
Oh, my sack.
Now, I mean, if you do that, you're a moron. But people are morons. And this is why we end up with these big hacks. Because, I mean, how hard is it going to be to hack into someone's password if their password is password? Tears in my eyes. I mean, Jaco, this is ridiculous, right? Isn't this stupid? Password is password. Get your shit together. Morning.
Good morning. How are you doing?
Yeah, nice. I'm good. And Lebang and I are busy shooting the breeze this morning, talking about everything from funerals to Bitcoin to, you know, whether life is a simulation and Cape Town being the greatest city on earth. But in between all of that, we were having a serious conversation just a second ago. I don't know if you heard us about like this identity theft stuff. And I heard you talking to one of your guests the other day about it. People are dumb. They need to change their passwords regularly. You need to update that stuff because people will find a way of hacking in, right?
Well, I think the biggest trend or the easiest way to hack people is basically what they call social engineering. It's actually getting, you know, exploiting people's behavior in order to exploit vulnerabilities. So there's this one American podcast that I'm listening to where they specifically just talk about security stuff. And a lot of the times people just phone in and say, can you just confirm what kind of – I'm phoning from IT. Can you just confirm are you running this kind of antivirus or this or that?
Yeah.
So social engineering is definitely a big thing. And then something that's interesting that I heard about, there was a big bank ATM hack in Ukraine a couple of years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And anyway, it was quite complicated what they did, but they actually traced it back to sending a Word document to an events coordinator in the bank. And that person's Word was not updated with the latest patches from Microsoft, and it exploited a vulnerability, and they ended up stealing something like $1.5 billion.
Oh my
so,
God!
So it's basic stuff that end up costing a lot of money.
Listen, somebody wants to ask you, and I mean, this is why we love having you on Cliff Central, because people can ask sensible questions like this. Steph says, Yaku, are those password storage apps safe? I mean, I don't use it anymore, but I did use Dashlane for a while.
Yeah, so that's a good question. I think it's there's a couple of them, like 1Pass, and there's a couple of them.
Mm-hmm.
My personal opinion, I'm still old school. Well, the one thing that you should do is you should never have the same password, even though if you change it on a regular basis, you should never have the same password for all of your applications, because obviously that's a problem. But yeah, me personally, I'm still old school. I like to write stuff down, so. That would be my answer. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I used to use the one, and it is dangerous to have your one password, and that's kind of everywhere. But it's so hard to remember many different passwords.
Gareth at the office, they laugh at me because there's one or two of our corporate applications. Once a week, I have to reset my password because I made it so complicated. I can't remember what it used to be. So it's human behavior. It's interesting.
Yeah.
So, I think, sort of touching onto that, what we see, just a side note back, mm-hmm. you know, when you were talking about the roads is getting busy and people are returning to work.
Yeah.
Just from a personal perspective, I am so happy about that.
Me too.
I'm so happy that I have more and more businesses that, where people are returning to the office. And I know for a lot of people that got used to sort of maybe a bit more of a life-work balance and work-life balance. But I think for the economy and for enterprise-focused businesses, it's great news that we finally returning to some form of normality and getting going again. So that's just on a personal note.
Absolutely.
But I think what we see is that you know, the only way from if you're in a business, the only way that you know if you secure is you've got to test your defenses on a regular basis. You know, that's really the only way that you're ever going to know if you have comfort. And in our industry, we have a terrible word for it. We call it penetration testing. It sounds horrible, I like to call it vulnerability testing.
Okay.
So we've got an application now where it's got an artificial intelligence engine sitting in the background, and it basically it acts like a human being. So it will try different ways. And then learn how human beings behave and then go and try and hack according to that. You know, normally those type of things are just for big business. It's normally lots and lots of money to implement something like that.
Yeah.
And we've now partnered with a local company that's developed a solution, and we can make it available in a small to medium enterprise space. And then, you know, the other big misnomer is, as long as people sit and you make sure that your firewall is secure and everything is 100%, you know, then you're okay. But we know, like for example, later today, I'm going to walk in at Cliff Central and I bring in my laptop and I connect to the Wi-Fi there. I don't come in via the front door. Walk in through the back door and there I am on the Wi-Fi. So it's important that when you test internally and externally. What we're going to do from a catalytic perspective is we're inviting any company that wants to know if they penetration safe. Can we call it that?
Yeah, sure.
To shout out to us, and we'll go and do a free assessment for them. There's no risk to them, no exposure or anything like that, and we'll give them a report and say. So the worst case scenario is you'll get a report that says, listen, everything's 100%. You don't have to worry about anything. So that's our our next initiative until the end of June. We're just going to – any company can contact us, and we'll engage them and do a completely
– That's amazing. I mean, this was obviously – there was too expensive for most small companies beforehand, and they probably didn't think they needed it. But everyone is now aware of the fact that you need to be thinking about these things. So that's terrific. And the best way to get hold of you, Jaco, is?
So if you email letsconnect@catalytic.co.za, that's the easiest way, or just go to our website, catalytic.co.za.
All right, catalytic.co.za. That's catalytic.co.za, and you can go and find out more. Well, we're looking forward to another show of yours this afternoon, and we'll check in with you then. Well, this morning, rather. Not
see
this
you
afternoon.
Later.
100%.
Oh, all right, lekker.
I'll see you a bit later.
Thanks, Jaco.
Looking forward, as always.
Cool, man.
Thank you.
Cheers. Bye-bye. Okay. All right. Well, I love this, by the way, that somebody here says you should use the word incorrect as your password, because then you type it in, and if it's wrong, the PC will remind you saying your password is incorrect.
Love it. We have a couple of stand-up comedians in the comments every single morning.
I know.
And I love for it.
Writing passwords down is not safe either. I know people who keep a little book with all their passwords in them, and then if someone just gets the book, they have complete access.
And then you're screwed.
Yeah, I mean, it's ridiculous.
But like, it's just generally like the safety of your passwords. Like if you have, I think it's like on Gmail or whatever, or on Google, if you have like the option to save your passwords, then you don't automatically have to like sit and type it in all the time. It just sort of like pops up whenever. It does make life easier, but it's so freaking dangerous. If you don't have like a password, like authenticator, you are screwed, like royally.
Absolutely. All right. Well, here's a quick reminder. I mentioned this yesterday. I interviewed a guy who was 13 years old when the war in Rwanda started, and he lived through the terror of the ensuing genocide. His experience of it and the story of how his life fell apart and then was rebuilt from nothing is absolutely incredible. It's inspiring. It is extraordinary. His name is P. Pacifique Kabalira Uwase, and I interviewed him just the other day. This interview will be available from today, and we explore just a few of the unbelievable and terrifying things that he went through in his youth and through the rest of it, because he went from refugee to car guard to university graduate to businessman. It's an amazing story. The video of the interview with P. Pacifique is available under Gareth's Guests right now on cliffcentral.com, on our YouTube channel, or you can just get the podcast wherever you listen to that too. So take a listen. It's really, really an amazing story. You know, we often sit around and we say, oh, you know, life is difficult. I've been through such trauma. In my childhood, I had a teacher who said something mean to me, and here's a guy who actually survived the Rwandan genocide. And I think there's something in that for all of us to take away. And he really had a tough life after that for some time as well, and didn't complain, got on with it. He said he used to, when he was a car guard in Durban, and he was busy walking around in that that car guard jacket of his, and he would look at the university, which was, you know, in the distance, and he'd say, one day I'll be there. And I think, you know,
that is
inspiring. Yeah. You think that he eventually did get there and he did get his degree and he did get out of that car guard jacket. That's an
now there's definitely levels to trauma and you know, different stories. I mean, I've got a client who previously said to me, you know, we need a bunch of influencers, make sure they all have these hectic stories, and you know, they must have come from something. And it's so it's hard to find those people, because a lot of people really just like whisk through life, and for them trauma is, I was, you know, pushed down a hill this one time as a kid, or oh no, I fell sick, or they don't really, really experience things that make them strong. They just kind of grow up in their little bubble. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's something interesting. It really is.
Well, there's no shortage of interesting stuff for us to talk about this morning. We've got a whole lot more coming your way in the next hour, including Brett Rogers, who is a guest we had not so long ago. But what we want to talk to him about today is how hard it is, or how difficult it is, or maybe it's easy. I don't know, because I've never tried this, but to get a vasectomy in South Africa. And you remember we brought it up very briefly when I last spoke to him, because it's something he feels very strongly about. And he'll tell us what an ordeal it has been to get a vasectomy in South Africa. Apparently, it's not as easy as we think. So we're going to find out. There are a lot of people who probably should be getting vasectomies. Especially those people who are like, you know, having two kids with every different woman and not necessarily looking after them, all those deadbeat dads that we know we have in South Africa. But I wonder, I just wonder if this is something anybody's thought about. So we'll talk to him. We've also got a bunch of other cool stuff coming up today. And we've got a lineup of incredible stuff on cliffcentral.com too, including our own Jaco Voigt from Catalytic, who will be on live on Unbundled this morning. Lebang's got her show on Thursday. Now, when are you actually going on your maternity leave, Lebang?
I think May will be my last month. So okay. I start maternity leave on the beginning of June. So that's like, what, 2 more weeks?
Yeah. So two more weeks of life with Lebang on a Thursday. And then she's going to be laid up at home like this.
I wish. I think I'll just have like more time on my hands. I'll just be like gathering content, like watching my kids just run around while I try to have another one. It's going to be a lot.
Speaking of that, the dude from Rwanda, Sanele has just reminded me that Tresor, the musician, he actually came from the DRC under similar circumstances and got to South Africa, became a car guard, and then eventually became a musician. I remember Tresor. We've interviewed him a couple of times. Yeah.
Yeah.
Very, very cool.
That was amazing.
Good story. So there are good stories like that. Again, you just have to kick under a few bushes and you will find they pop out. And there are plenty of reasons for you to be very glad that your problems are your problems and not someone else's. Wouldn't be so nice if you had to abandon your entire country and run away as a refugee because people were actually trying to kill you just because of what tribe you belonged to. Not cool.
Not cool.
And we should remember that. One of the things I mentioned to this guest is I said to him, you know, dude, you came out of Rwanda. When you hear people talking like they do in South Africa about xenophobia, how does that make you feel? Because it is just amazing to me how we forget this quickly about things like that, and we move on and we think it's all in the past, and then very, very fast it all catches up and suddenly you're back in that situation. Let's make sure we don't go down that road in South Africa. Anyway, it is 7 o'clock. We'll be back in just a moment. Don't go anywhere. CliffCentral.com.